Good morning.
Good morning.
Rick Black, is that you? Did you bring ice cream? Well, get out of here. Oh. Well, then, why aren't you? You can kick Nick out if you want. I mean, he's at the organ. We can make him stay there. Good morning. It's good to see you all. We have a couple of announcements. The first is our guest organist this morning is Nick Grooms. And his guest this morning is his lovely wife, Maggie. Anyway, we're very happy to see y'all today. Let's see, announcements. The Sandwich Ministry, starting September 4th, the sandwiches are going to be made here in the church kitchen on Friday afternoons at 3:15, and the Saturday schedule is the same at 8:15. You'll start putting the lunches together. If you would like to join in that ministry, talk to Debbie Mestis. Also, our property chair, Dan Cooey, says we need more help mowing the lawn for the month of September. And let's see, the transition team meets this week, and so do the quilters, as usual. So are there any other announcements? Oh, I know there's one I forgot this morning earlier. I want to thank Melanie and Randy Sue for putting out the prayer concerns during the week for the last 6 years. We are going to take care of that in the church office from now on. And so if you have prayer concerns during the week, please call the church office. And if it's after office hours, give me a call if you would, please. So thank you, Melanie. And thank you, Randy Sue, who is off having a good time this weekend. So are there any other announcements this morning?
Box lunch.
Box lunch. See, I told you. Box lunch this week, 12:15, St. Mark's. Donna will be the organist this week. So mark your calendars, and if you can, buzz on over there on Wednesday. Come in the back. The doors will be open.
And please wear a mask.
And please wear a mask.
That's it.
And that's it. Thank you very much. This was an announcement from Nick. And let's begin our worship service this morning with the prelude. Nick?
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship, please? O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth.
I will open my mouth in your parable. I will utter things hidden from your mouth.
Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. O Lord, we will tell of your power
and the wonders you have done.
Let us give thanks to our God.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our opening hymn this morning is Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Good morning. Would you please pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us together today in worship. We are in awe of your magnificent power displayed through the entire universe, for through you all things were made and all things have their being. We gather today with grateful thanks and with hearts that long to adore you and to worship you. Lord, may we know the presence of the Holy Spirit here with us today. May we be open to your leading, sensitive to your speaking, and alert to your calling. Father, we invite the same power that was at work when Jesus was raised from the grave to be present with us here now. Hear us today, Lord, as we pray together the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And our special music this morning is Lonnie McBee. Before we get to our prayers, just a brief little story, and it goes something like this. They were second graders, about the size of Blake Stupak last time we saw him. And every Sunday morning, they would rush to their Sunday school class because they loved their Sunday school teacher. And on this particular Sunday, when they got to class, they found almost in the middle of the classroom, there was a big refrigerator box laying on its side. And the top of the box was open. The top of the box had been cut open. That was unusual. There was also, the teacher had brought that day two 2x4s. The Sunday school, two 2x4s and a blanket. And a blanket. Oh, there we are. And so the teacher had the children take the 2x4s and they put them, about this far apart from each other. And then they put the blanket down in the middle and wrapped its sides around the 2x4s to make a what do you call those things? Yeah, stretcher. Yeah. So they made a stretcher. And then the children had to decide who was going to lay in the stretcher. Well, of course, they didn't choose the smallest child in the class. But they chose the one they loved the most. The friend of everybody. Her name was Cindy. So Cindy laid down in the stretcher. And then the Sunday school teacher said, all right, half of you on this side and half of you on this side. And so those second graders, the teacher made sure the blanket was secure, of course. So the second graders all tried to pick up Cindy on that stretcher. And what were they supposed to do with her, do you think? Yep, they were supposed to pick her up high enough to get her through the roof. And as they were getting closer to that refrigerator box, what did they notice? Who was inside the box? Well, there was a little picture of Jesus in there, angled so that the picture of Jesus' face was looking right up there. And as they worked, and as they huffed and puffed and worked together, the Sunday school teacher kept saying, look, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus watching you. See how much Jesus loves you? Jesus loves you so much. Jesus is so proud of you for what you are doing. And they finally got Cindy through the roof and poof, nobody got hurt that day. But what do you think those children learned? Not just the story of the healing of the paralytic, which is in, a couple of Gospels. Those children learned Jesus loves them. Those children learned what it means to be a friend and how important it is to be a friend and how important it is to be a friend of Jesus. There's so much more in our stories of Jesus than meets the eye. Yes, Jesus healed the man. He got up and he walked out amongst the crowds. Why did they have to put him on that little stretcher, the little pallet thing? Because there was crowds all over the house and the friends had to peel the roof off. What kind of friendship is that? As Paul Harvey would say, that's the other part of the story, the rest of the story. The healing is important. But the friends and their devotion to each other is important too. The stories of Jesus, they never forgot that. How old are you when you're in second grade? Like, what? I forget. 7, 8? 8 maybe? That stays with you. That's why we teach the stories of Jesus. And now as we come to our time of prayer, we have some concerns. Peggy Reina is Jackie Cook's granddaughter, and she has evacuated from her home in Marin County, California. Week of Compassion is at work monitoring and in touch with partners in the Gulf of Mexico region where tropical storms are moving through. They have already, Tropical Storm Laura has already been through Puerto Rico, where power is out and winds and floods are occurring now. They are also in touch with partners in the West, in California, Colorado, Idaho, and Oregon, I do believe, where fires are being fought. So we want to remember firefighters and people whose homes and lives are being affected. Peg Jackson will be leaving for Montana tomorrow for about 3 weeks to spend that time with family. Kathy Morrison is back after a 2-week evaluation at the National Jewish Hospital in Denver. And she has found out some good things to be able to take care of her health better. Mike continues with his chemotherapy treatments. I spoke with Monica yesterday, and she is doing much better. And Cal's still trying to figure out how to get the nerve in his leg taken care of. Let's see, we want to pray for Connor Goodman, who was sentenced to 7 to 8 years in prison last week. He is right now at Natrona Detention Center, and they are not sure how long he is going to be there. Teachers and students, college students and preschool students are all going back to school in the coming weeks, so please remember them. Are there other joys or concerns are there other joys and concerns this morning? Yes, Belle.
I'd like prayer for my brother-in-law, Patty. He has a broken tibia, and he is facing a lot of hard life decisions right now.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Debbie. Yes.
Just a couple joys.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 5 months since Maggie and I have been in worship, and so it's a joy to be here today with that. But as far as counting time or anything like that, more joyful is that 3 years ago this weekend, after the eclipse, Maggie told me that we would be expecting Natalie, and she is an extreme joy in our life. So,
Natalie. All right. Yes, she is. Let's join together in prayer. Oh God, in the turbulence and the loneliness of our living from day to day and night to night, keep us in touch with our beginnings so we will remember where we came from and with whom. Keep us in touch with our feelings so we will be more aware of who we really are and what it costs. Keep us in touch with our minds so we will know who we are not and what that means. Keep us in touch with our dreams so we will grow towards where we need to go and for whom. O God, deliver us from the arrogance of assuming we know enough to judge others. Deliver us from the timidity of presuming we don't know enough to help others. Deliver us from the illusion of claiming we have changed enough when we have only risked little, so that, liberated, we will make some of the days to come different. Oh Lord, we ask not to be delivered from the tensions that wind us tight, but we do ask for a sense of direction in which to move once wound, a sense of humor about our disappointments, a sense of respect for the elegant puzzlement of being human, and a sense of gladness for your kingdom, which comes in spite of our fretful pulling and tugging. O God, nurture in us the song of a lover, the vision of a poet, the questions of a child, the boldness of a prophet, and the courage of a disciple. And because, O God, you call us to love and care for the world as you do, in your presence, in silence, we offer up to you our prayers for others for this day. O God, it is said you created people because you love stories. Be with us as we live out our story here. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. As I mentioned, it's been 5 months since we've been in worship. Try and keep track of changes that happen, but I'm a little confused, Pastor. My Uncle Dennis said when you're presiding elder, there's supposed to be like a special coffee and a donut up here for their communion, or...
He lied.
Oh, he lied, okay. During this period of people spending time at home or in much smaller groups, jigsaw puzzle popularity has seen a large increase. People have been ordering more and more jigsaw puzzles to help them pass the time. My wife Maggie shared with me a picture of some PEO ladies that have been working in small groups for fellowship on a 6,000-piece puzzle. They were celebrating the achievement of putting in the 5,000th piece and that there's only 1,000 more to go. Have you ever seen a small child trying to work their first jigsaw puzzle? Our daughter Natalie loves puzzles. Her puzzles usually, though, only have no more than 6 to 8 pieces. And the pieces are large, so that she can easily work with them with her little clumsy hands. There's an initial phase in which the kid, and their parent sometimes with certain puzzles, wonders whether or not these things even fit together. But eventually the process becomes straightforward, and as the child grows, she can enjoy puzzles with many more pieces. It's intrinsically satisfying to the human mind to be able to solve a puzzle. Of course, to solve a jigsaw puzzle, there are some things that make it easier. First, you need to have all the pieces. Second, the puzzle must actually be solvable. All the pieces actually have to be cut so that they fit together. And finally, having a picture to show what the assembled puzzle is supposed to look like helps. Communion is a biblical jigsaw puzzle. We've been given this puzzle to remind us of some important facts, but it's simple enough with few pieces that even our little clumsy minds can understand it. It has very few pieces. We recognize the cup as being representative of the blood of Christ shed on the cross for our sins. We know that that comes from the Passover feast, where it represents the blood of the animal sacrificed for sins. The bread represents his body broken for us. The puzzle pieces are simple, but the meaning's very deep. The puzzle is solvable. If we just had communion as it's been given to us in the New Testament, it might not be as clear, but we have a guide. We have Passover from the Old Testament to show us what God was doing. You look at the lamb sacrificed in Passover, and you see the lamb sacrificed at the cross. As you look forward into the future, for communion lasts until he comes again, you see with the eyes of a prophet. We don't see everything that's coming, but we know who does. But what about the picture? The picture is that man was designed to love God and have a relationship with him forever. That relationship was broken in the Garden of Eden. You could say that we lost the box top to the puzzle with the picture on it at that time. But God kept giving us clues about the new picture on the box to come. And that picture was returned to us at the cross. God gave us this picture puzzle so that we might be reminded and remember the sacrifice that he's made for us. Our hymn of communion this morning is "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." The words will be on the screen. Let us recall that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Will you please pray with me? With grateful hearts, O God, we remember the gift of your love in Jesus Christ, who for our sakes was broken, that we may be made whole. Bind us together in Christian love. Grant that Christ may be made known afresh to us in the breaking of this bread. Empower us with your Spirit so to eat of this bread that we are sustained to share bread with all the world. Amen. In today's world, the idea of scarcity is something that keeps popping up. It is hard at times to remember the absolute abundance in our lives when we have periods that scarcity or the fear of scarcity seem to interact with us on a weekly or even daily basis. During these times, we pray that we remember the abundance that a relationship with God brings to our lives, and we remind ourselves why we give. If our pastor has called on you on the phone, called on you at your house, offered you comfort, support, and hope, you know why we give. If our lovely pastor's bluntness has rubbed you the wrong way, but you find comfort and familiarity in coming to this physical place of worship, you know why we give. If you have seen the work our brothers and sisters at Week of Compassion have been doing, responding to recent disasters in Iowa, California, Beirut, and the Gulf, you know why we give. This morning, let us receive our morning offering. Dear Lord, we return a portion of all the gifts you have given to us in remembrance and in gratitude for these blessings. Use these gifts to support ministries of healing and of hope. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read the whole thing just for you. It doesn't. Oh, look, there's 72 verses in this one. First reading is from Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and God's might and the wonders that God has done. And the second lesson from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Ralph Milton writes, "Come, my friend, tell me your story and I will tell you mine, and we will sit and laugh, we'll drink a toast to the God who loves us, to Emmanuel, God with us. We'll share our story of a Christ who died and lives in us, and how we live in him. Come, my friend, L'chaim." Now, who doesn't love a good story, a good storyteller? Tell me a story. Tell me the story again. Are familiar words to many of us. Bedtime stories, show and tell stories for those of us of a certain generation. Stories about school and work shared around the supper table, story time at the library or the bookstore. How many of you remember story time at school when the teacher read to you? That was the best part of the school day. Goodnight Moon, The Napping House, where no one now is sleeping. Carl and Green Eggs and Ham. The Snowy Day, where the wild things are, Bud, not Buddy. The Adventures of Captain Underpants. A Wrinkle in Time, The Island of the Blue Dolphins, Holes, Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Just to name a few good stories. They take us across the street, around the world, back in time, throughout the universe and to infinity and beyond. They help us dream. They help us imagine possibilities that don't yet exist. They help us discover our true selves. They can show us who we are meant to be. They teach us character, identity, shared values. Stories are able to bind us together, to give us a place and a home in this world. It's like the stories of our families. How during her Alaska wanderings in the 19th century, my granny met my great-great-grandfather on the day she married him. That must have been fun. Mm. And then the day my mother married my father, my granny gave my mother $5 in case she had to get away. Family stories. Our genealogies of stories are stories of journeys, and for some, we find unexpected twists and turns in those family stories. In our family, everybody knows about the day they were born. Everybody can recite everybody's birth story. And in pastor's class, this is the first story we tell. On birth stories, on birthdays in our house, the retelling of one person's birthday story leads to the retelling of another, and that always leads to everybody telling why Dad is always late. Because he was born late. Because his mother got to the hospital before the doctor, and the doctor called and said, "Make her wait." That's our theory anyway. The photographs in our homes all have a story. When you walk in the door of Gene Johnson's home, the walls on each hall are covered in photographs, and she is glad to tell the stories of each one of those photos. Who she is, her life is right there, spread across those walls and in photos throughout her home. These stories of our photographs, the days of our birth, the stories shared around our tables, our family stories tell us and teach us who we are as members of our families. They teach us where we belong and what we value. In the very same way, the stories of our faith tell us who we are as members of God's family. We have the stories of Israel. We have the birth story of creation. It's the second birth story we tell in pastor's class. The escape and the release from slavery in Egypt. My ancestor was a wandering Aramean. The wandering and the complaining and the rebellion in the wilderness, the entry into that not-so-empty promised land, if you will remember. The stories of Solomon and David and Bathsheba, and who knows the story of the Witch of Endor? It's really good. I'm telling you, it's good. The captivity in exile, the restoration of that small remnant. Isaiah the prophet, the boy Jeremiah, Elijah in the cave in the desert. There's the darkness of Joel, the streams of justice and righteousness of Amos, the story of Deborah, the judge of Israel. Jael, Jephthah's daughter, Ruth, Esther, Huldah, Rizpah. These are the stories that tell us about the persistent God who keeps returning and returning and returning for the child, Israel. They tell us about the God who will not let us go. And in turn, they tell us something important about who we are as God's children. We are beloved. We are God's delight, the apple of God's eye. And then we have the stories of Jesus, his birth story. Actually, his birth stories. There's two. And this, his stories, are the third birth stories that we talk about in pastor's class. Getting lost on the way to the temple when he was a boy, the leper, Jesus and the leper, blind Bart, Bartimaeus. I'm a little familiar with him, so I just call him Bart. The woman at the well, Jesus gathering children around him, raising a little girl from the dead, Talitha kum. The feeding stories about the loaves and the fishes, calming the storm, walking on the water. The story of Lazarus cleansing the temple. That's a really interesting story. Oh. Of course, the resurrection, eating a last meal with his friends, the story of being betrayed by a friend, a good friend. The way, have you ever thought about the way he died? The Bible tells us a story about the way Jesus died. The wedding at Cana is fabulous. Who doesn't want to go to that wedding? These are stories that tell us who Jesus is as Emmanuel, as the Son of God, and they tell us something about who we are, what we value as those who follow after Jesus, and where and to whom we belong. And of course, there's stories of the early church, its beginnings in that windy, noisy room on that day of Pentecost, and then how they meet in homes of Cornelius and Lydia, how it spreads from Jerusalem to Antioch and Rome to Corinth, that land bridge. Do you know Corinth is a land bridge? And Ephesus. Its devoted leaders, Peter, Philip, Dorcas, Barnabas, Paul, and Phoebe. And we hear of journeys into prison, journeys and shipwrecks and greed and generosity and understanding and division, forgiveness and unity. It's hard to be the church. It is hard. And we have stories that teach us that. These tell us what it means to be a community of faith and how we are to live together. We have stories of our denominational beginnings on the American frontier. That great revival at Cane Ridge, Kentucky, where Barton Stone was the pastor, his words and actions lead to some of the most beautiful writings. They lead to the dissolution of the Springfield Presbytery as they say, "We will that this body die and be dissolved and sink into union with the body of Christ at large." Thomas and Alexander Campbell struggle over who can take communion. Do you need to pass a test and get a token? Huh? They write, "The Church of Christ upon the earth is essentially, intentionally, and constitutionally one." Walter Scott devised a way to teach children about faith on the frontier with his five-finger exercise: faith, repentance, baptism, forgiveness of sins, and gift of the Holy Spirit. See, I did it. I got it. I just have to go fast. We like to publish what we think. The Christian Baptist, the Christian Messenger, the Millennial Harbinger, the Christian Standard, the Christian Missionary Tidings, the Disciple, Disciples World. They always said disciples don't have bishops. We have editors. We like to argue with the world. Clara Hale Babcock. These are the stories that tell us what it means to be a member of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. These stories of faith belong to all of us. They are the family stories that we share, and we are all connected by our common shared stories. Story time is not one of those childish ways that we put to an end when we become adults. As Paul kind of said in 1 Corinthians, it's just one of those things that slipped away, I guess, which is kind of too bad. As adults, we study to learn. Like the story of the healing of the paralytic, the man put down through the roof. We would study the crowd. And what's Jesus doing in the house? And who are the crowd? And what's going on in the house? We probably wouldn't look at the friends. What does it say about friendship and Jesus looking up in love and love, friendship, loving friendship? We've forgotten how to do that. Hearing the story, seeing the story, participating in the story like our kids do, engaging all our senses, is a fantastic way to learn no matter how old we are. Multisensory learning is good for everybody. I learned that because I have a dyslexic daughter. The reason I'm mentioning this whirlwind of stories is because it's back to school time. And it's about to be back to Sunday school time here. And I've seen what Sunday school attendance is like around here. For our children, you may have read in the call, the plan here is to wait and see how the opening of school goes to get a feel for how education and learning goes for our kids and our teachers. And then we'll make some plans. But we do have some packets being created just for our kids. We're not doing nothing. We're being patient and trying still to figure out what the best way to educate our children this coming fall is. But for our adults, soon we will be having two Sunday school classes. Dan Cooey has said he will continue teaching the home builders class. And I'm going to teach another class. If you haven't caught on yet, I think it's going to be a pastor's class for people who've already been to pastor's class and people who haven't been to pastor's class. How many of y'all been to pastor's class? I think no one in this church went to pastor's class except Paul.
When I was nine.
Well, see, I was 10. I think we're going to do something, so you might want to start remembering your birth story. You know, you were there, Paul. You remember it, right? If you saw the chalkboards in the boardroom before the holy manners were written on all of them, that stuff that was written on all those chalkboards, that was pastor's class work. We worked really hard with the two kids who are in our pastor's class. They have one class left, and I think they're going to be baptized in September. Our transition team, working alongside the 100th anniversary committee, is going to be contacting all of you. Oh, you may have read that in the call. It's time again to tell the story of First Christian Church of Casper, because the story has changed. The story has grown. The story has widened in its reach and significance, and there are several among us now who are new to the story. It's time for us to look again at our shared values. It's time for us to remember we have shared values. All of us are here for a reason. So what is that reason? And what brought you here? How did you first come to First Christian Church? Paul, did you come on a covered wagon?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, good. That would have been a little chilly in February, wouldn't it? But what brought you, your family, your parents, your grandparents, to the First Christian Church of Casper? And why are you here now? What keeps you here? What does First Christian Church, what does your church mean to you? What are those values we share? And so on. You will be receiving some more information about this storytelling project soon. We all have a story to tell, and the church has a new story to write, and it's time to tell it, just like those stories of Jesus. It needs to be heard. Come, my friend, tell me your story, and I will tell you mine, and we'll sit and laugh and drink a toast to the God who loves us, to Emmanuel, God with us. We'll share our story of a Christ who died and lives in us and how we live in him. Come, my friend. L'chaim. Let us pray. Everlasting, ever-present God, help us to find depth and meaning in the story we have to tell. And may we be attentive and growing listeners as we continue to know ourselves and understand ourselves as your children. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is "I Love to Tell the Story." Would you please stand? Can y'all hear my grandmother singing that? Because I can't. Be careful today with the air and the heat, so make sure y'all stay. Mommy's here. Y'all stay hydrated and stay in. Don't you go anywhere. You go home. Okay. All right. Thank you. That'll make me feel better. It's all about me. Now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.